Welcome to The Alternative Angle. Amy Noyakis is the founder and CEO of Anthemis, a leading digital financial services investment firm and founder and CEO of Archer Gray, a media production and content company. Amy, a real pleasure to have you with us today and welcome to The Alternative Angle.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here.
So your career in financial services spans two decades. What were your experiences during previous macroeconomic shocks like the global economic crisis of 2008 and the terrorism attacks of 9/11? And how is this assisting you deal with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, you know, Alexander, it's probably going to age me quite quickly, but the reality is I'm a bit of an anomaly, right? So 2001, I happened to have worked at the World Trade Center and was part of the team at Cantor Fitzgerald that helped rebuild the company after we lost 658 of our colleagues and friends. And I think that for me, when COVID struck a few months ago, there were lots of moments of reflection about what happened then and what leadership looks like in times of a crisis, and what our responsibilities are as employers and as colleagues. And we often got questions around September 11th about, you know, how is it possible that you guys went back to work, that you rebuilt that company, that you were able to go on? And the answer was always pretty straightforward. We didn't really feel we had much of a choice, right? In times of crisis, people want to go to a place where they feel useful, where they feel productive, where they feel comfortable. And the idea of doing anything else after September 11th made no sense to any of us, right? We had something we could do. We could put that company back together. We could make sure it survived and honored the colleagues that we lost, but also that we could build something that in the future would financially support the families of those that we lost. And that's what really drove us through that entire cycle. And then when 2008 hit, I very coincidentally was starting Anthemis with Sean. And so we went out to fundraise literally on the day that Lehman collapsed. So if you think about kind of what it would feel like to be starting a new idea in this moment when everyone and their brother was questioning whether the economy would even survive. And so again, another moment to sort of think through, okay, what does this mean? What does leadership look like? What do we do to continue to keep going? And I really do believe that in times of crisis, people want to feel like they are participating in something. And this particular crisis, it's going to be a challenge for people, right? So many people are out of work and so many people are suffering. But I think as leaders and as employers, we have to remember that we're not just companies, but we're collectives of human beings, right? And that through the suffering and through the pain and through the challenges, there are opportunities to engage, opportunities to convene. And I think it's important as a boss that we're conscious about what people are going through, some of the stresses that they're feeling personally, physically, emotionally, and that we do as much as we possibly can as participants in the economy to put people back to work and to give them something to do. And that's going to be a big part of our recovery.
And of course, another thing as well, you are a boss, of course, but also you are looking at many portfolio companies. And of course, these companies are going to have many challenges. How are you helping your underlying portfolio companies overcome these challenges right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're spending a lot of time doing with our 100 portfolio companies what we're really doing as we look at our own group vehicle as well, right? So the immediate post March 15th was about triage, right? Figuring out who and what do we have with regard to the cash in the bank? How do we maintain that cash, build that cash and that capital support and keep the runway for as long as possible? So we're asking our founders to really look sort of certainly to the end of the year and 12 months out. We're helping them raise capital. We're keeping the ones that were in the market and working to sort of figure out what parts of their businesses, if any, are affected by this particular virus, where are their opportunities and where do we need to change focus. We are convening them together, running workshops and putting them in a room to sort of help them help each other. I think that's a really big part of really good portfolio management is that you recognize that it's oftentimes that these founders feel very alone, but in the end, they're not alone. There's thousands like them out there. We just need to make sure that they can talk to one another. And that's what I think Anthemis does really well. We have a platform and an ecosystem that is designed to be able to support our portfolio companies in times of crisis and in times of good. And that's a big part of our special sauce. Now, that said, we're doing all of this with an understanding, and we kind of have like a little bit of a 2-week rule at Anthemis, right? Which is everything can change in 2 weeks and nothing can change in 2 weeks. And so every 2 weeks or so, we're checking in with the bulk of the companies. We're checking in with our staff. We're checking in with our teams just to make sure that we all appreciate where the world has moved to and what to do next.
So talking about sort of, you know, the workplace and not having the workplace and being alone really at home, we've seen a big change in the way in which people work, live and transact in the moment now. Are there any investments that you've made over the years into specific technologies or sectors that have been validated by the current situation or by perhaps the longer term trends in how we transact?
Well, Anthemis is originating thesis, you know, back in 2008 when Sean and I started investing together and when we started the company, we made it very clear that our job was to find and invest in business models that were developed exclusively to provide resiliency in the financial system, right? So our job, so to speak, was then and is now to rebuild the financial system to be more modern and resilient so that it can resist and really live through shocks precisely like the ones we're going through here. So essentially every company in our thesis is going to be better off because of this particular crisis, but in the same way, you know, it gives a lot of momentum and fuel to the idea of the thesis itself, right? That the companies in our pipeline, companies that we've backed in the past, have been about creating transparency in the markets. They've been about creating access to capital. And I think that companies like Tide, Challenger Banks that are providing access to capital for small and mid-sized companies in a way that some of the big banks can't do very nimbly. And we saw that through the early days of the crisis that it was really a struggle for some of the big financial services companies to be able to deploy capital to some of these government funding programs. And, you know, companies like Maxwell and Matic in our portfolio, which are essentially streamlining and making it easier for individuals to access home insurance and mortgages in an environment where, you know, questions and or changes in their life and their economic situation have kind of created a need and a desire to kind of really quickly make some decisions about their home, which for most people is their biggest asset on their balance sheet. So, you know, we're super, super conscious of what the world is going through right now. And we're continuing to sort of dial in on this idea that, you know, if we do our jobs right, and we're seeing more than ever now, financial services companies engaging with us on these conversations, if we do our jobs right, we find the right entrepreneurs, we find the right companies, and we bring the big financial institutions together, and we convene a conversation about properly rebuilding the financial system from the bottom up, I think that everyone's going to be in a better position. People will have more access. People will find more solutions. Things will be cheaper. And I think that will serve everybody very well.
So you mentioned Sean there. So this is Sean Park, your partner, Anthemis, and you've been investing with him since 2008. So you've been making seed investments in financial services startups. Some of today's most well-known tech companies were set up, as we know, in times of crisis. Are there any examples you can point to where you've invested or founded or operated companies that have demonstrated success in times of strife?
Yeah, I mean, look, generally and technically speaking, venture capital, there's really no better time for early stage venture capital investing than during an economic downturn, right? We've seen time and time again that the funds with vintage years of 2001 or 2008 to 2010 are some of the best performing assets out there. And part of that is the length of the investment cycle for venture, right? Investing for a 10-year time frame so that you have time for markets to recover while you grow and build the companies in the portfolio. And certainly we saw this firsthand at Anthemis. And when, you know, we look back to kind of our biggest performing assets or best performing assets, these are billion-dollar companies, right? We seeded Zoopla during the just after 2008. We seeded Climate Corp, which eventually sold to Monsanto for $1 billion. Currency Cloud, Betterment. You know, these are the types of companies that pop up, one, because they're good ideas, but two, because there's a market opportunity. And right now, I don't think there'll be any different scenario. I think you're going to see a significant number of opportunities coming to the market, but I think investors at large have to think about their role in backing venture capitalists and GPs who really understand their responsibility to investing in the right companies, right? Because this crisis, in my mind, is slightly different in that the magnitude and the speed at which it hit us and the amount of people around the world that are going to be negatively impacted for a very long time because of this. It's up to us, I think, as investors, and we have a responsibility to make sure that with a little bit of thoughtfulness, we're leaning into the ideas and the opportunities that will help support the economy's recovery and rather than simply just profit off of the negatives part of it.
So where do you see there being the greatest opportunity to invest within tech and more specifically fintech right now? And also, given that you were investing in venture and your time horizons and your views are pretty long term, has this changed much from the pre-corona era?
For us, not at all. All right. I mean, our original thesis is, and we've always been what we would call sort of exclusively fintech investors, but we've had a very wide definition of what financial services technology is, right? For us, it's about investing in digital business models that have the ability to transform the financial services layer of our economy. And the reality is that not many industries don't rely on that layer in order to survive. So we take what we call an embedded finance approach, right? This is the idea that if your company needs to transact or so it has a payments mechanism, if it has a finance or lending mechanism, or if it has a risk management and insurance mechanism built into it, then it is in thesis for Anthemis as an investment house. And I think that that makes our opportunities post-COVID really interesting, but they're no different than what we were looking at pre-crisis, right? So for example, in kind of what we would call the core financial services places, we're really continuing to dial into those companies that, you know, democratize access to capital for small and mid-sized companies, for example. Those are the folks that continue to get lost in the shuffle on a regular basis. Places where we can modernize capital markets so that people can recognize in the future how important working from home will be to our economy and making sure that the things that have to happen inside large financial institutions can happen on a more distributed network. We have always been pre-COVID looking at a thesis around the intersection of media and finance, right? The future of work, how to protect and serve the gig economy workers, how to monetize the new world of social influence economy, right? The gaming opportunities that are sort of coming out of the e-gaming space and the entire economies that are presenting themselves in that world. In the healthcare space, you know, I'm super excited about healthcare in so much that it's the one place where we're finally seeing a woman-dominated industry get the attention that it deserves and the people in it get the attention they deserve. And I think there are going to be lots of amazing ideas that come out of our healthcare and wellness space that will certainly be fueled by the post-crisis environment, but will serve, I think, the entire economy on the basis of how important people are appreciating our healthcare system is to our future.
So thinking about women in business, I mean, Anthos really stands out from its peer group as being one of the very few female-led VC funds. And of course, there is a much higher proportion of female-led companies in your portfolio than the norm. So how do you think about diversity and inclusion at Anthos? And what value do you think that adds to as an investor, both for your LPs and your portfolio companies?
Yeah, well, for us, diversity, inclusivity, and equity is built into our DNA. It is absolutely the reason why we started this company, right? Sean and I sat, looked at each other and said, we're not building the same old engine for the same old people. And it was from the very day one that we made a conscious effort to hire and deploy capital in a very different way. And I think that the company that we've built because of that, where 55% of our employees are female, 60% of the decision makers and investment team are female, I love to say that it's just smart business, because it is. And anybody that hasn't figured that out yet, well, good luck to them. But for us, it's even broader than that, right? We're getting, and in some ways, it continues to be a special sauce for us. And while I am a huge proponent of wanting everybody in the world to figure this out and be better at hiring and deploying capital with and for women, I also think it gives us a competitive edge, right? We are swimming in very different ponds than any of our competitors. You cannot compare the deal flow that we get at Anthos with any other VC that's out there. We have more people of color. We have more people with different cultures. We have more people working in outside of financial services industry than any other financial services fintech. We've got more women. We have more cultures represented, right? I think we speak 14 different languages and we hail from 13 different countries. So there's no comparison to that in the network effect, right? Because the people that we're talking to on an individual and collective level are very different than what our peers are talking to. And so I think that makes us better. I think it makes us look at things differently. I think it gives us a really great opportunity to support our portfolio companies in a different way. We're seeing things differently. We're bringing different experience to the game. And I think it also, in this particular environment post COVID, I think it's going to bode really well for the entire system, right? Because I think now that we're living and forcing ourselves to work in kind of a less tight-knit ecosystem of where the cities matter more or Silicon Valley matters more, you're going to be finding ideas evolve and kind of erupt from places where they didn't necessarily come from before. And who better to find those ideas than those who are already, you know, fishing in those ponds. And so I'm super excited about that, but there's still so much work to do. You said that we have a massive number of women-led companies in our portfolio, and I'm really proud of that. But I'm not going to rest until we get that number to as close to 50% as possible. Last year alone, the number of female-founded startups that raised venture capital, was a whopping 2.2%, and I think the year before that it was like 2.19%. Right, so we're making progress, but just not enough.
Amy, thank you so much for your time today on The Alternative Angle.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you.